Thank you. Further public comment online? Seeing none. Okay, we will bring it back to the board and the commission, and we are now going on to item 27, our public hearing on Measure D, five-year programs of projects for regional transportation projects and lift line and strategic implementation plan update.
Thank you, Chair Brown. Just real quick, staff this morning is having transportation challenges. So our lead staff for Measure D programming, Tommy Travers, has joined us via Zoom and will give the presentation via Zoom.
Great, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And yes, I apologize. I did plan on being there in person. So I'm Tommy Travers. I'm a planner on RTC staff. I'll go ahead and get started as that presentation gets brought up full screen. So I'm here to present the annual updates to the Measure D regional category five-year plans, as well as the five-year plan for Lift Line. At the end, the public hearing can open and there will be opportunity for the commission to ask questions of project managers and management about categories and about the staff recommendation regarding Highway 1 Freedom to State Park and Rail Trail Segment 12. Next slide, please. Oh, and it looks like the view for the public is the presentation view instead of the full screen. I'll go ahead and keep going. So the 2016 Measure D is a 30-year, there we go, half-cent countywide sales tax administered by the RTC that goes to transportation following the voter-approved ordinance and the RTC-approved expenditure plan. Next slide, please. Here's how the funds must be spent. The left half is managed by the RTC for regional projects, plus also a small set aside that comes out of the pink wedge for Highway 9 and for the Highway 17 wildlife crossing. Next slide, please. Every spring, the neighborhood recipients and Metro have a public hearing and adopt their Measure D five-year plans. Later in the fall, the RTC goes through our public process for our five-year plans, one for each of the regional categories. Lift Line's plan is also being considered today since they are not a public agency. Next slide. The main takeaway today is that there are no new projects being proposed. Earlier this year, as you know, the RTC voted to update the five-year plan to increase funds for the Highway 1 41st to Soquel and Chanticleer Overpass project. As typical, the new plans reflect adjustments to project schedules and also add funds in the new fifth year, fiscal year 2029, for recurring type projects. Next slide. So now I'll just quickly describe what each regional category funds. Next slide. So the active transportation category provides funds for environmental design and construction of the rail trail, maintenance of the completed trail, and maintenance and encroachment work on the rail corridor generally. Next slide. So here's our latest rail trail status map showing that 18 miles are now under construction or are funded through construction. Out of all the five-year plans, the proposed five-year plans, the main change is programming an additional $2.1 million proposed for segment 18, phase two. Next slide, please. So for the highway category, the funding provides for environmental design and construction of the segments between Freedom Boulevard and Soquel Drive, as well as our roving tow truck service, increased CHP patrols on Highway 17, and our transportation demand management program called Cruise 511 and its sub-program Go Santa Cruz County, which work to reduce the number of people who drive alone for their trips. Next slide, please. So here's the status map along Highway 1. The segment between Freedom and State Park is currently in final design phase. Next slide, please. So this category provides funding to preserve railroad infrastructure and also for rail service studies. So currently, it provides some of the funds for the concept report for the zero emission passenger rail and trail project. Next slide, please. This category provides a set aside for Highway 9 in the San Lorenzo Valley. At this point in time, all of the priority projects that were identified in the 2019 SLV Complete Streets Corridor Plan in Felton and near the three schools are all in final design now and are also fully funded for construction. And then in Boulder Creek, all of the priority projects that were identified are beginning environmental now, and we continue to seek full funding for those projects. Next slide. The wildlife crossing has been completed, as you know, for some time, and recently it was awarded a Caltrans Excellence in Transportation Award. Next slide. So back to the lift line 5-year plan. So Community Bridges proposes to continue using Measure D funds to support expanded weekday and weekend service, electric fleet upgrades, and the new operations facility. Next slide, please. So the Watsonville to Santa Cruz multimodal corridor program essentially is over time the implementation of the recommendations from the RTC's Unified Corridor Investment Study. The current package of projects that we are seeking outside grant funding for is shown here. And I'll describe it on the next slide. So go ahead, next slide. Thank you. So similar to what we did exactly 2 years ago, we are submitting a joint application for a cohesive set of projects that, if funded, will be implemented by a partnership of the RTC, Caltrans, Santa Cruz Metro, and the County of Santa Cruz. Notably, we are now including nearly all of the infrastructure recommendations from the recent Metro Rapid Corridors study, and that'll dramatically improve the speed and reliability of bus service between Watsonville and Santa Cruz and within all the communities in between. The RTC is responsible for most of the grant application work, putting it together, and Caltrans has been a great partner and are co-nominating the project with us, and they're providing helpful reviews and recommendations for our grant application work. Next slide. So to conclude, we're recommending that the RTC first open up this public hearing and then consider the input from the community and then ultimately adopt the 5-year plans for the regional categories as well as the 5-year plan for Lifeline. We are also recommending that, as requested by Caltrans and described in the staff report, that the board direct us to work with Caltrans to split the Highway 1 Freedom to State Park and Rail Trail Segment 12 project into two, and, as requested by Caltrans, that the RTC commit to implementing the trail portion. RTC staff will return to the RTC with more information soon, as we realize this is relatively new information for everyone. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Great, thank you. We will go now to the commission for questions before we go to public comment. After? Okay, gonna wait. Okay, Commissioner Rotkin.
Well, what's not at all clear and needs to be worked out is what that split looks like. And I'm going to throw it all out on the table just to get started with this discussion. My assumption is that Caltrans is responsible for things that relate to the highway as they've done before. And there certainly are parts of the rail project that are not done bear on the highway or other Caltrans realities. It's reasonable enough to think that the commission would be responsible for using its Measure D funds from the various buckets. For example, there'll be a need for two pedestrian bridges. Going to do the trail where the railroad bridges are right now, the modular railroad bridges. Makes sense to think about the commission being responsible for building those pedestrian bicycle bridges. On the other hand, the railroad bridges are perfectly good shape. There's nothing wrong with them, and there's no reason that the rail should be paying for, and the rail bucket should be paying for those improvements. The only reason that they're going to have to be removed is because they need to widen the highway. The bridges aren't long enough. So I'd like some kind of assurance that our staff plans to go into these discussions, negotiations, whatever they're going to be, about the split in a way that understands that we're not sort of taking rail money and pushing it into sort of support the highway project. I know we can't dictate to Caltrans what we would like, but on the other hand, we'd like to feel that our people that are involved in these discussions are representing our interests as a commission, and the rail project shouldn't be paying for the highway for fixing bridges that we don't need, that don't need to be fixed. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. But they will have to be replaced if you're going to widen the highway. I'm sure there are other complicated issues in the split in terms of who does the construction, who manages it, how it's paid for, who pays for cost overruns. So in some ways, there might be some benefits to the commission splitting these things into two projects, where we're not responsible for cost overruns on the highway. Caltrans would be. I'd like that. As I said, I understand the reality. We're not going to dictate to Caltrans what we, you know, what exactly what we want, but there needs to be some kind of reasonableness in the idea of what the split looks like. So I'd like some comments from our staff about how they plan to enter these discussions. You can't totally dictate what happens in a negotiation before it starts, but having some sense that since we're not in the room, it just says, well, we'll work it out. What's the workout look like? So it's sort of what's important to me. I guess I'd like to get some sense of that maybe we could before this public comment, just so the public have an ability to understand what our approach to this is likely to be, because I think it's a matter of great importance to them as well. Thank you.
I may respond to some of those comments. It's really helpful for the commission to be providing input at this time. As Tommy mentioned in his presentation, this is very new information and it's an evolving conversation. So your comments are really helpful for us and for Director Eads, who's online, to hear. And I will say the project that we're talking about is the Highway 1, Phase 3, State Park to Freedom, as well as Coastal Rail Trail Segment 12 project. That project has a significant amount of Measure D that has been programmed to it from both the highway category and the active transportation category. There have been no programming from the rail category to this project because you're right, what's triggering the replacement of the railroad bridges is the highway improvements to upgrade standard shoulders and horizontal clearances. And that's really triggering the need to replace these bridges, not because of their condition otherwise. So I just wanted to provide that funding clarification. And then in terms of the cost overrun issue that you also brought up, I'd like Director Eads to chime in on that, if you may.
Happy to. If now's a good time, I'll look to the chair for
Eads
back here. So, there's a lot of, first of all, I don't know that I would call it as a negotiation as much as just meeting and trying to come up with the best approach that works for both entities. So there's a lot of factors that would play into how projects are split out. There's advantages to be able to do so. And just to highlight some of the factors super quickly, depending on the type of work, where the location of the work is, the strengths of the agencies that have done the design and are developing the projects or the project elements, The strengths of contractors that might be interested in bidding on the work, those contractors' bonding authority can be a limiting factor. So it's not always to the advantage to have the largest contract possible and pull everything into a single project. There can be distinct advantages to breaking down the work into biddable packages that you can have contractors that their strengths are around doing certain types of work. And then also the other key factor that's part of driving our perspective on this is that there's a difference in terms of the components and the design of those components and all the right-of-way activities. If it's related specifically to the state highway right-of-way, we are owner and operator of that facility. Caltrans is owner and operator of the state highway system. So we have a very thorough oversight process to make sure that whatever elements are being constructed in or over our right-of-way, we would want to make sure that, we're comfortable owning and operating that, and it's going to meet our needs and the traveling needs of the public for many decades to come. And so our oversight process is more thorough, not only on the design side, but also on the right-of-way side. There's a little bit of a careful what you ask for in terms of having Caltrans too deeply involved in all the decision-making that needs to occur as you continue the work of the rail trail elements that the RTC owns and operates. And this is just the first of other coming projects where that work will play out in the future. And so this is really just setting the stage for, let's think about what elements Caltrans should be having a deeper oversight role and what participation even Caltrans will have in the construction process. So I just want to highlight a few things there. These decisions are oftentimes on these types of projects made phase by phase. And so, granted, we would probably all have benefited from having earlier conversations about this. And so I'll take some ownership if this feels like a surprise. We had been talking, but now that we're up against this application deadline and the need to submit the application, it's really advanced some of these conversations. But typically, when we look to the next phase of work, which would be the construction phase in this case, that's a decision that we make at that time. Even on the state highway system now, RTC can do construction administration. Caltrans would still have an oversight role as owner and operator, but it's RTC could also do construction administration on the highway portion as well. So we're sort of the contractor of choice, if you will. If you think there's benefits in having Caltrans do the construction administration for the state highway system improvements when there's other funding involved, that's not SHOP funding, then we're happy to do that. We're happy to enter into those conversations and come up with the best solution. In terms of the cost overruns, I wanted to highlight that quickly. That really is going to be dependent on the funding type. And so we're talking about an application that we're submitting jointly for two different programs that are competitive programs through SB1. So one of those is State Congested Corridors Program. That program does not allow for that. The program will not accept any cost increases. So it's basically, if you're successful in obtaining an SCCP program grant, it's a set amount. If it's $80 million you get $80 million. And if the cost goes up by 20%, then somewhere else, some other funding source will have to come in to fund the balance. And that's hard and fast. That's not a Caltrans decision. That is a California Transportation Commission decision. They are the owners of that funding program. And the same thing with TCEP, which is Trade Corridors Enhancement Program, which we're also jointly nominating for this program. There's different buckets under that program. Some of those are regional shares, and those are allocated to the regional agencies, and there's some level of negotiation because it's the region includes the region bigger than Santa Cruz. So it includes Monterey County, Santa Barbara County, and San Luis Obispo County. So there's some negotiation behind the scenes in terms of how much shares could go to a single project within a single county. And then there's state shares, and the state shares There is an ability to for Caltrans, if it's a jointly nominated project and state shares are part of that mix, for Caltrans to cover cost increases. It's we still would need to go to the CTC and ask for funds, but it would be in proportion to the overall funding amounts that are part of that application or funding grant. In this case, the state shares are, I think, less than 2% of the overall funding ask. And so it stands to reason that the ability for Caltrans to ask for more funding would be limited, probably to an additional 2% or less. If you know, that would be doubling the amount of funds for the TSIP state shares. So, and then the only other, you know, under SB, so I just take a little bit of history. Sorry, I'm going on here, but under SB 45, which was in 1997, it used to be before that that Caltrans really controlled and made decisions wholly about projects in the state highway right away. So Caltrans got to decide what were the priorities and when, where to program funds. And then Caltrans got to live with the cost overruns because we control the funding. With SB 745, it really made a shift to regional control over planning and programming. And so there was a division of, or a breakout of two primary funding sources under the STIP. And that was RTIP, which was given to the regional agencies to make decisions about those programming, about that funding, and then to allocate those funds. And then there was 25%. So that 75% went to the RTIP, 25% went to ITIP. And the ITIP, which was interregional program, was really focused on rural interconnectors. And the RTIP was focused on urban areas or urbanized areas. And so once that change was made, Caltrans was given the shop. Out of that came the shop. And Caltrans does have full authority to program the dollars within the shop and then cover cost overruns, but we still need to loop back through the CTC for final approvals for any changes. And so we have full authority over the shop and the ability to request funding increases on that funding source. But the shop is limited to maintaining our system and maintaining and repairing our assets. So that's culverts, shoulders, pavement, and the like. So there's some safety components as part of the shop as well. So I know that's a lot, but we're limited in terms of our ability. So it's, we can't really commit. We can't go in and say, yes, we'll cover cost overruns just because we are doing construction administration. It's tied to the funding programs. And in this case, what the application is tied to programs that have limitations in terms of cost overruns or increases. I'll stop there. There's probably more questions.
Commissioner Schiff. Oh, your mic's not.
All the Caltrans limitations. I just want to clarify what we're doing here today, because I think it's possible to get into all sorts of discussions about issues that aren't really before us now. So let me just ask a couple of questions. One is, as I understand it, there's an application that is being proposed for the funding of these two projects that must be submitted by November 19th, or otherwise we'll have to wait 2 years for the round. Is that not the case?
That's correct.
So we really need to act on this today if we don't want to delay the project. Second thing is to look at what the recommendations are. What the recommend, as I see it, we're approving the five-year plan for Measure D, and we're approving, we're being asked to approve splitting the 12 from the highway widening project, and we're being asked to commit to carry out segment 12, Caltrans road project. That's all we're being asked to do today. Is that not correct? And then the other thing is that staff go and work on all these other more complex issues and then come back to the commission with whatever you're able to work out with Caltrans, and we'll either like it or not, and then we can sort of lock horns with Caltrans if we want to. But at this point, it's just all talk, because all we're really asking, being asked to do, which I think makes sense, is to split these two projects and submit this joint application and take on the responsibility of doing the segment 12 project. That, am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, you are correct.
Thank you. I just think it's helpful to focus the discussion on what's actually before us. I think staff understands that the committee has to minimize its cost to maximize its flexibility. I think we have details of telling staff to do that. They represent us. They're going to do that. How successful they're going to be with Caltrans dealing with some of these other issues, we'll come back to it. Obviously, from what Mr. Eek says, it's very complicated. And we're not going to solve that today, and it's not really even relevant for us. So I'm hoping that we will be able to focus on the recommendations for us and decide whether to approve them or not.
Thank you. We'll come back to you.
Working, so I'm going to use this. I hear Commissioner Schifrin's points, and I don't want to open up a whole lot of questions, although I do have quite a few. But I'm sensitive to the concerns that Commissioner Rotkin has raised, and I share those insofar as the decisions that are going to get made in those rooms and come back before this body will. The future of our ability to complete these projects is dependent upon what happens in those conversations and the agreements that get worked out. And so I'm very concerned that, having been a commissioner who has, I guess this is a little bit of a comment, but which I was going to hold, but as a commissioner who has just been here for 8 years and opposed to this highway widening, I have supported the moves that have been, I have supported the actions that and recommendations that have come before us because I want to make sure that rail is not, the possibility for rail is not eliminated with this segment 12. And I am very worried that that's what's going to happen. And so I do think that there are questions that, that we'll have. And I very much worry that what gets worked out will come back and leave us with very limited room for maneuver in terms of how we want to move forward. I understand the split being potentially necessary, although it hasn't been other projects in the past. So let's not forget that. I guess the question I'll ask here is when will we hear? When do Caltrans and the RTC back to the commission? For approval, the results of the project development review, what we're calling it.
I could take that one. It is unknown, unfortunately, at this time. However, we might be coming back in multiple steps. For example, in order to split a project that's in one construction package into multiple packages, you have to split the plans, and each contract has to stand on its own 2 feet. We have to figure out the funding. How do we split the funding based on the cost estimate of those things? That all is going to be additional design work for our designer. So, for example, we may need to come back to the commission and request a contract amendment for our designer to do this additional work that's not currently in their scope. So that's just one probably first step that this commission will most likely see in the future. Unfortunately, because this has been an evolving conversation that has happened very recently, there's a lot of balls in the air. There's a lot of moving targets. And I appreciate Commissioner Schifrin's focus on what we're doing here, what staff is recommending. Obviously, taking over as the implementing agency for construction is a major change for the RTC. We've talked about it in the past extensively. That's a big undertaking for us. That's not a decision that staff wants to make on our own. We want to bring that to the commission. And if we need to make that commitment before we submit this application, this is, that's how we got here today with the recommendation. So There's a lot to work out. Caltrans and RTC staff are very committed to working through the details and making sure that we have a sound split and what we come back with makes sense. And the commission will have many opportunities to comment on the result of these discussions and the evolving conversation of this project.
Thank you.
Commissioner Longo.
Right, I'm mindful of Andy's comment and not, and I think it's an important point there about what we're doing today. If this was in the update that we got yesterday, I haven't had a chance to review that for you, so I apologize. But if we're going to take responsibility for, split the project and responsibility for the design and engineering of some part of it at least, do we have, and I know we've lost our main engineer for good reason. We're hiring a couple of new engineers, if I understand it properly. Will we have the staff adequate to do that part of the project? If in fact, you know, we don't yet exactly know what the split is, but certainly will require additional staff work that more than what we had anticipated when we thought Caltrans was going to be doing this. So I thought Caltrans was going to be doing it. Will we be in a good position in terms of our, once we hire these new positions, to handle the staff requirements of doing that kind of engineering work?
I can appreciate that consideration. I have been thinking about it extensively. We have a recruitment that's going out for Director of Capital Projects, and we have a future recruitment for backfilling an engineering position. So this is obviously going to be a critical part of selection of the type of candidates that we get. I've heard a lot of feedback from the community, from the commission, of getting, you know, capturing talent that includes, you know, having a rail expert, for example. You know, I hear all these things and these are considerations, but it's definitely going to be a part. You know, somebody who has really strong construction implementation experience is going to be crucial for this agency in the future.
Commissioner Koenig.
Chair. Yeah, I also want to appreciate that this, I think, would be precedent setting for the agency to actually be responsible for project delivery for a project of this size, certainly. Is that right?
It may.
Certainly, is, in my brief tenure here, it is the largest project we would ever have to deliver. I mean, but I guess to throw the question back at Caltrans, I mean, what I'm hearing is that Caltrans would not be willing to move forward with this joint application if, you know, for some reason this commission were to say, no, we're not splitting the projects, it has to be together. I mean, at that point, it's, you know, if we're talking deal or no deal, it's a no deal for Caltrans. Is that correct, Director Eads, that you just, Caltrans would not be willing to proceed with an application that did not split the project?
Yeah, at this point in time, the preference going into it is that we start to figure out what does it look like for Caltrans to not be responsible for constructing the rail trail portions of the project. Now, that said, there's nuances to what that means when we start to move into the state highway right away. So that's the work that needs to be done, is to meet with staff, meet with RTC's designer, and kind of talk through what are elements are appropriate for one construction contract and what elements are appropriate for the other. But yeah, this is you know, where we our strength would be to address and do construction administration on the elements within the state highway right away. Again, nuances around the structure elements that go over the state highway right away, and that's part of that discussion that need to take place. But the joint application status is predicated on the idea that that's not something that we see as our strength to deliver. And part of this has to do with, you know, first of all, in terms of project delivery, RTC is already doing the design of both all of these elements. And so RTC is already being an implementing agency in the design phase. What we're talking about is looking ahead to the next phase of the project, which is some time away, and thinking about who would be best served to do to construct the elements as part of the projects. And we're saying we're happy to serve as the and perform construction administration over the portions within the state highway right away primarily, and look to just and have plenty of further discussions around how the other portions would be split out. Another option that's on the table is for RTC to do construction administration for the entirety of the work. Then you wouldn't need to split it, but that understandably would be taking on more. So again, there's time to make this decision. I think the urgency here is making sure that we're clear to the CTC and to Caltrans headquarters about the commitment that is being made in the application. And so based on the discussions that Sarah and I and others have had just in the last few days, I think we're comfortable with characterizing that there's an imminent decision that would be made. At a minimum, RTC would construct the portions outside of the state highway right away that are rail trail related, and that there's a path forward for coming to conclusions around if it's split or not, what would that look like? So we can point to a process that's going to be played out and a decision that will be made in the future. So I think there's some comfort level to be able to have these conversations and come to conclusions over a reasonable period of time, but with the baseline understanding that Caltrans would not be constructing the rail-to-rail portions.
Right. So, I think that's an important point, is that this is a joint application, and both of us as partners in the application have to be comfortable with it and ready to move forward. And so let's not lose sight of the opportunity here, which is we've got, I think, an incredibly competitive application for a huge amount of money for our community that allows to deliver both of these projects. And while splitting the projects is certainly going to require the RTC do something that it's never done before. And it's going to be challenging. It's still, I think, worth doing and finding something that both the partners, Caltrans and the RTC, in this can agree on as a path forward. So I'm supportive of the recommended action.
Maybe I will start. Quite a long, this is a complicated issue, and we have a pressing timeline, some real financial unknowns of who's going to do what. I'm happy to note that the original Measure D expenditure plan and percentages they're intact so far. And given the situation of so many projects that are over budget, the RTC still needs to be mindful of fulfilling that obligation that we made in 2016 when more than 2,000 of the voters, two-thirds of the voters approved this. Mike, I'm focused on the Measure D Active Transportation funding category. It shows, and I really do appreciate the clarity of the staff report. It shows the total capacity life of the Measure D is $177 million, and we've already obligated $110 million of that. And I don't know that I can, the part of the plan that I can't support is the support for the $32.5 million for the finance plan. I've heard prior RTC meetings that the Measure D money should not be used for maintaining the trail corridor, that we should use the TDA, the Transportation Development Administration funds, which are separate from the active transportation funding. I disagree for two reasons, and I really appreciate all the work that's gone into this. And I said, about the complications and working with different agencies, but the TDA pot money, that is what we have traditionally used for routine road maintenance projects, to rebuild pedestrian and bike paths, as well as the highways. If we use the TDA money for $62 million in trail corridor maintenance, that takes away from the significant amount of money that we have for what we told people we would do. So I thoroughly appreciate the what has gone into this report, but I'm really concerned about that $32.5 million that we're not going to stick with what we said we would do to the voters in 2016.
I just want to clarify one other point around closer to my. I think it's on. Just closer. The The commission is moving forward at this point to rail trail segments 8 and 9. Both of those, all of those four segments are, 8 and 9 are being constructed by the city, 10 and 11 is being constructed by the county. It is possible that the county could take on responsibility for constructing 12. And I think while conversations with staff, I understand that certainly County Public Works is maxed out now with Soquel Drive project. While we move forward in considering, assuming the commission approves the recommendations today of taking local responsibility instead of Caltrain responsibility for segment 12, that we continue conversations with both County Public Works and County Parks that may have a capacity that we don't have. And if there's funding in the grant for that kind of staffing, staffing to do that work, it may be worth considering. So it wouldn't, what we're doing, what's being proposed here is something new, but it doesn't necessarily have to go that way, given what's happened with 8 and 9, what's happening with 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. I think that needs to be kept in mind. And, the final thing to make that sort of become clear to me and make sure I'm right is that Caltrans is not going to do segment 12, except as far as it goes right away. Therefore, if we don't take on the responsibility, or the county, or county isn't willing, if one of these two entities isn't willing to do take on that responsibility, there won't be a segment 12 because there'll be nobody to implement. So I think what we're really voting on today is being consistent with our previous actions to approve the EIR for segment 12 with the highway widening project, and to moving forward with the design. This is just one more step in a very complicated process that may or may not ultimately succeed, because we don't know if we're going to get the grant. And the grant for the highway project in itself is going to be enormously, the cost of the highway project itself is enormously expensive. I don't know how the cost of the rail trail segment compares to that, but these are not certainties. And I think I appreciate staff's commitment to trying to move these projects forward. I think it's important to recognize that we're always just one step away from failing and a bunch of steps away from succeeding. And I think that this is an important step for us to take to move towards that ultimate success. There maybe was a question in some.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. I have a couple. So the grant application needs to be submitted a week and a half, November 19th. And what was the exact funding request?
So the request for cycle 4 is, it's actually 3 programs, Solutions to Congested Corridors, Local Partnership Program, and Trade Corridor Enhancement Program. Between the 3 programs, the RTC, Caltrans, Santa Cruz Metro, and the County of Santa Cruz are requesting $128.7 million.
Okay. And then it looked like in the staff report, it said that the split is contingent on receipt of that funding. So is that the case? So if we don't get this funding, we're not going to split the project. We're only approving a split of this project contingent on us receiving them?
Correct. If we don't receive the funding, there, we have a lot more time. We could go back to the drawing board and figure out, another path forward. However, staff is feeling very confident about our application. We barely missed on cycle 3. And the reason we were not awarded funds for cycle 3 in 2022 was because the project was not far enough along in its development. So fast forward 2 years, we're in 95% design, right-of-way component is well underway. We're closer to construction. And then add on to our already very competitive Cycle 3 project, all of the amazing work that Metro has done. Metro did extensive planning work And we have taken the entire infrastructure need from the Rapid Corridor study identified through all of their engagement throughout, you know, Watsonville all the way to Santa Cruz, and incorporated all of those infrastructure needs into this application. So it has added a ton more transit, and that's what the state likes.
So I know, you know, as mentioned, this is kind of new. So I'm assuming none of our committees have seen any about the project being split, correct?
That's correct.
Is there any chance that they're going to before the application goes? Are any of our committees meeting before the 19th? They could have an opportunity to look at this, regardless of what our decision is today. If there's still going to be discussions with Caltrans, are any of our committees potentially going to?
No, unfortunately not.
Will they, as we move forward, if it's determined, they will get presentations?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And then forgive me, because I know this has been touched on, but I'm just not sure that I've heard the answer, or maybe I missed the answer about the replacement of the rail bridges. And so I understand that it's going to be widened, but I'm not sure that I'm completely clear that they will be widened and reopened as rail bridges.
So it's really interesting. There's a lot of sensitivity for, you know, whatever reason about these railroad bridges. They are in the scope of work for the project. They are not being removed from the project. There's no plan by RTC staff or Caltrans staff to not build these railroad bridges. They need to be replaced because of the highway improvements with longer span bridges. And, you know, there's a lot of concerns, I think, from the community about, you know, somehow, you know, these bridges aren't going to get built, which is just not true. They've always been in the project. We're planning to replace them as part of this project. So just want to make that abundantly clear that there's no plan to remove those railroad bridges from the project.
Thank you. Those were my questions. Any further? Yes, Commissioner Koenig.
A couple points of clarification. So sort of in response to Supervisor McPherson's comments, we have this sort of overview of the programming and then the debt service on borrowing and estimated 30-year revenues, et cetera, at the beginning. Is that technically part of the 5-year plan that we are approving, or is it simply what we sort of reassume would be necessary as far as borrowing costs if we move forward with 5-year plan?
Grace Blakesley, who is our lead for the active transportation category of Measure D, is here to help respond to that.
Good morning, Commissioners. Grace Blakesley of your staff. Thank you for that question, Commissioner Koenig. No, we're not approving the borrowing at this time. What we've shown in the table in your staff report on page 27-6 provides information about the overall capacity of the Measure D active transportation program should we pursue borrowing and follow through with the commitment to fully fund segments 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Thank you for the clarification. Certainly would agree that we should be careful with overall costs, and especially, you know, I would not be supportive of any action that's going to ultimately lead to taking money away from our roads to fund cost overruns on any of these other projects. But I based on what you just said, sort of projected, but we're not approving any definite cost for borrowing today.
Correct.
All right. Any final questions? Okay. With that, we will go to public comment on this item, and we will start. Yes, public hearing. We will open the public hearing. Thank you. You're correct. We'll open the public.